you've got your Bibles with you, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin looking there in verse 17. As today we are continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've gone through the Beatitudes, and then last week we looked at how Jesus tells us that we as His disciples, we as His followers, are to be salt and light in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools. Everywhere we are to be pointing people to Christ. And this morning, we are going to begin to look at how Jesus moves into describing the authority and the importance of abiding in His Word and keeping His commandments. And so this morning, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently, because we're going to be looking at the passage, we're going to be dealing with the passage, but then we're going to be really focusing on the practical application of this, because we can all say that it is important to make God's Word a priority in our life. But the challenge that we often face is we often do not show that in how we live our life. And so Jesus here, He mentions that the authority of was Scripture in His life, and when we look at that, that was basically just the law and the prophets. That was the authority during His time. But today, we also have the New Testament. And so, alongside of the law and the prophets, we have the entire Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. And that, this morning, is our authority. That is what we stand upon as followers of Christ. But the challenge is, especially in today's time, with everything that is going on around us, there's often a question that we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, when the law of this land goes against the commandments and the institutions and the instructions of the Word of God, what is the disciple of God supposed to do? And often we ask that question, and here's the thing. Jesus actually spoke to that. And so we want to look at that this morning. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 5, as Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." See, there's a big debate that is going on in our country, in our culture right now. It's the debate on religious freedom. And we see laws, and we see court cases that are going on all around us. Even a few years ago, there was a court case in Kentucky that was brought forward by the Amish, because there was a law passed that required the Amish to put red reflectors on their buggies. And they said, "We cannot do that. That is against our faith." And there was a law was brought forward. The court ruled against them and said, "No, you have to put red reflectors on your buggies." And they were saying, "Well, this is an attack on our religious freedom." But see, this debate about religious freedom goes far beyond whether the Amish have the right to refuse to put red reflectors on their buggies. What we can see is that the scope of it is much bigger than that, because it could come about that if a pastor speaks out against a behavior such as homosexual behavior, and the pastor says that according to Scripture that this is a sin, if we are not protected by laws that protect religious institutions from making those claims and stating these beliefs, then we could be accused of breaking some hate speech crimes. Or it could even become that if church or religious organizations decide that there is some sort of conduct, that there are some sort of behavioral lifestyle standards that they hold their employees to follow, that we could be liable for discrimination for refusing to hire someone whose belief system or behavior goes against what we see taught in God's Word. See, those are just a couple of the repercussions of all this debate about religious freedom. But here's what we find in the Word of God. The Word of God says that all the things on heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God endures forever. See, what we see is that there these laws that we have in our land, they're going to come and go. Because there might be some things that are legal today that might not be illegal, that might be illegal tomorrow. There might be some things in this land that are illegal today but might be legal tomorrow. We see that these laws, they will come and go. Supreme Court justices will come and go. Presidents will come and go, but the word of God, according to Jesus, will endure forever. And so we must stand solely upon the authority of the word of God. That is what we stand upon. So we want to look then this morning at the significance of what Jesus says as he teaches us that we must make God's word a priority in our life. And so we want to look then at that means, not just as individuals, but also as us as a church. And the first thing I want us to see is this, that Scripture should be an integral part of our daily life as a disciple of Christ. And the reason why it is so important for us, the reason why it needs to be an integral part is, first of all, because it is our source of wisdom. And here's why this is all such a big deal when we are talking about God's Word. It's not because we want to be a group of people who are very legalistic and say we have all of these rules that we have to follow. The reason why God's Word is so important to us is because it is His revelation of Himself to us. It is a story. It is His story. It's the account of His Son. It's the account of His life of His Son. And this all provides us with wisdom, not only for now, but for all eternity. Because see, the book of Proverbs says that all wisdom comes from God. And there's a big difference as we're looking at wisdom, that it's important for us to understand that there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is stuff that we can gain. Wisdom is what we do with that knowledge. And that wisdom can only come from God. Here's an example of that. Let's just say I was in a car accident and I was not wearing my seatbelt. And as a result of that, I had some pretty serious injuries. And I had a friend who was in a similar car accident, but he had his seatbelt on and he made it through just fine. Well, I just learned a very important lesson. That when you get in a car or when you're driving, you need to drive with your seatbelt. That's knowledge. But wisdom is, what am I going to do with that knowledge? And the wisdom is, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to wear my seatbelt from now on. And so we can see that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And, well, I could have learned that valuable lesson, but it's what do I do with that? Now, I just wonder if I would ask, how many people in this room had learned something and had gained some understanding about life from because of an experience that you have had? And I believe if I would ask that, almost everybody here in this room would raise their hand. We all learn from our experiences. But here's the problem with waiting until we experience something to learn something or to gain some sort of understanding. The problem is I only have one body. And so that can be very costly if I waited till I experienced something to learn anything. But what if I could go around this room to everyone who had learned something from a past experience, and I could just harvest what they learned, and I could place that in my brain, I could place that in my mind, I could place that in my heart, and just learn from everybody else's experience. That could potentially mean that I would have wisdom beyond my own experience and beyond my own lifetime. It would be amazing. It would be wonderful. But now let's just think about what God has done. He has not just given us one book, but He has given us a library of books, which all account these different relationships between men and women. And there were some good decisions that were made. There were some bad decisions that were made. There were some unwise decisions that made. But in God's Word, what we have is we have the wisdom of the ages right here in print. And we can just place all of this wisdom in our heart because we don't have what it takes to do all of this on our own. We don't have to wait for that experience to learn it. And that's why Scripture is so important. And you know, as we look at Scripture, the best statements about Scripture, they actually come from Scripture themselves. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, that basically teaches us that Abel is able to speak even though he's dead. And you might say, well, how is somebody able to speak to us if they are no longer alive? And the reason why is because we have his story recorded in the very first book of the Bible. And now, for all of the ages, we can look at that story and learn wisdom from what God did in his life. Paul wrote in Romans 15, 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. The things I'm going to share with you this morning are principles that have transformed my own life. These are principles that I hold as the most important things in my life. And there are many people here in this room who would be able to testify to the same thing. Because the thing is, today I want to share with you is the most important deal when it comes to your walk with Christ on a daily basis. And maybe that is why the devil tries so hard in our lives. He goes to such great lengths to keep us from spending time alone with God and his word every single day. And so what we're going to talk about in just a little bit is what we can do to make sure we are spending time with God and his word, and what that would mean for our life here this morning and also for our life for all eternity. Now, as I said, the greatest things about Scripture come from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of ages has come. We see that the reason why these things were written down was for us. They were written so we could learn, so that we could gain wisdom, so that we could grow in our life with Christ. Psalm 119 is probably one of the longest, most lengthiest passages in Scripture, and I encourage you to go and read that chapter. It's a great chapter about the Bible. But there in 119, beginning in verse 98, it says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Now just look at what is said there by this psalmist. Just think about this statement. I understand more than my teachers. I understand more than people who are a lot older than me. Now, that's a pretty cocky statement to say, isn't it, if we're saying that on our own? But look at why he is able to say that. He says, for your testimonies are my meditations, for I keep your precepts. See, the word of God is important in our lives because it is where we gain the wisdom of God. Another reason it is also important for us is because it is the inspired word of God. See, the Bible is the only book that is God breathed. He breathed out these words for you and me. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we see that inspired by God. And for that reason, we need to make it an integral part of our Christian life. And so what I want to do now is just look at some of the specific statements of Jesus where he's talking about the importance of Scripture. And we began to see another reason why it's important for us is because we are to teach and to keep his commandments. As look, and you see there in verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets, for I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. See, one of the problems that people had with Jesus is they thought he was teaching something that was different, something that was new, that he was talking about a different God, that he was talking about a different relationship with God. He even called God his Father, which was a term of intimacy. But Jesus said, I did not come to nullify everything else that you have always believed or anything that you've learned about God from the law and the prophets. He says, I didn't come to throw that away. He says, but I came to fulfill it. And when it comes to you and me applying that in our lives, what we need to remember is that when it comes to the Bible, the God of the New Testament is also the same God of the Old Testament. Sometimes we will often hear people imply that this is from the Old Testament because it's kind of out of date. It doesn't make sense, or it's hard to understand, or it's hard for us to follow, or it doesn't fit with our understanding or how we conceive God to be. But what we must remember is that God wrote through human instruments the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that God is the God of both. And we can apply that in our lives by spending time daily in God's Word. And it's not, and when we do this, we don't play favorites when it comes to the parts of God's Word that we spend time in. As I know so many people, they say, well, I don't like the Old Testament, so I like to read the letters of Paul. Or I like to read the Gospels. That's where I really get everything from, so I spend all my time in. But when it comes to spending time in God's Word and meditating on God's Word, we need to remember that all of it is God's Word and that it is all inspired by God. But then he continues on in verse 18. He says, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. The phrase that Jesus says and uses here, he says, for truly, truly I say to you, that is a word that we get our word today, amen, from. It's an affirmation of something that is absolutely true. And what Jesus is doing here is he is using this to underscore his divine authority. Because remember, Jesus said after his resurrection, after God had done everything to validate Jesus as his son, he was there with his disciples and he said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go make disciples. He says, all authority. And what he's doing here in verse 18 is he is showing his authority. And he is saying, look, the word of God, all of it is important to us. Then he goes on in verse 19 and he says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Here he gives us specific instructions about how we are to relate to his commandments. And that's where he says there are two commitments that every follower of Jesus should have. That is to teach his commandments and to teach them, or and to keep them. Now as a church, let's talk about teaching these commandments. How can we, as a church, teach these commandments in a way that we are showing that the Word of God is a priority here in this church? And that's by us making sure and making certain that when we teach, whether it is from this stage, whether it's in a classroom, in a Sunday school class, whether it's in a small group, whether it's in the nursery, it doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter what type of, whether it's the songs that we sing, the programs that we have, that everything we teach is based upon the Word of God. And when we come together in environments like this, we are not here because of the opinions of men. We are not here to hear the opinions of men, but we are here to hear what God has to say. That's what we do. And sometimes that is popular, and sometimes it is not. And there's a real good chance that in the coming days, in the coming years, that it's going to become even less popular in our culture. But that's why Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. In season and out of season, when you feel like it and when you don't. When it's popular and when it's not, when it's culturally consistent and when it's not, it doesn't matter. We are to teach the Word of God in season and out of season. And so he says, teach it But he also says that we are to keep these commandments. Now, in order for us to be able to teach it, we must then know what they are. And this is where, when it comes to daily time in God's Word, where that is valuable for us. Because let me say that there is nothing that you can do in any giving day that is more important than spending time with God and with His Word. There is nothing. There are no exceptions. And I can guess there are probably some of you that are saying, well, Pastor, what if this happened? What if I was on a mission trip and I'm out ministering and I'm taking the gospel to the nations and I just didn't have time to deal with God's Word? Wouldn't that be more important? Or you could say, if I have an opportunity to witness to someone who doesn't know Jesus and they're going to hear the gospel through me, isn't that more important? And you would say, so how could you say that on any particular day, it's more important that you spend time with God and His Word? Well, the thing is, I didn't say that, as Jesus actually did. As there's a story in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus goes to the home of Martha and Mary's sitting there listening to Jesus at His feet, and Martha's there. She's running around the house. She's trying to get lunch cooked. She's trying to make sure the house is all clean, that everything's just perfect, and that Jesus is comfortable. He's enjoying His time there, and she's looking at Mary, and it's like, Mary, why are you not helping me? I need some help here. And so she goes to Jesus and basically says, Jesus, you need to rebuke Mary. She's making me do all the work. Jesus turns to her, though, and basically begins to rebuke her and says, you're busy about a lot of things, but not about the most important thing, like Mary is. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him. She was spending time with Him. Because just think, where does this message come from when we go on mission? It comes from God's Word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what am I going to have when I go to someone if I go without the Word and I go without the Spirit and the power of God? We would have nothing. So we have to make the Word of God a priority in our life. But the question is, how? This is where I want to get into the practical aspect of putting knowledge into action. And so what I want to do with you then is to share with you a way to do this in your own life, because I know how hard this discipline is. And even though we say it is a priority, I know that by our practice that this is not always true. So what I want to do is I want to talk about a way that we can spend time with God and spend time in His Word. And maybe you already have a way, and that way works for you, and I say just keep on doing it. Good job. Keep on keeping it up. But many of us don't have a plan. And without a plan, this is just something that we don't do. So I want to share one with you this morning. And now when it comes to time with God and His Word, there are four things that we need. And the first thing that we need is a Bible. And that might sound like common sense. Yeah, you need the Bible if you want to spend time with God's Word. But the thing is, it's not really that obvious. Because for some people, they'll just take a devotional book, or they'll take some sort of spiritual guide, and they will use that as their time in the Word of God. But here's the thing, there is only one book that is God-breathed, and that is the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending time in devotionals or with these spiritual guides, but we can't let it replace the Word of God. And so the first thing you must start with is a Bible. The second thing you will need is a pen or a computer. You'll need some way to record what God speaks to you. Because when God speaks to you, if you are anything like me and you have a bad memory, you're going to forget what God has said to you. And so what we can do is, if we don't record it in some way, in a week or in a month, it's going to be gone. And we don't want to lose the things that God tells us. So we want to have some way to record it. You know, there's not a person in here that's going to know what you are going to deal with before you do. And one of the reasons why we want to record it is because God is the one who speaks to our heart, and He knows everything that we are going to deal with before we ever deal with it. Like I said, there's not another person in this room that knows that. There's not a person in here that knows what's going to happen to us in a year, in a month, in a week, or even an hour from now. You might think you do, but there's no one here that does. There's only one person who knows precisely what you are going to be dealing with. There's only one person who knows precisely how you are going to be tempted. There's only one person who knows precisely what you are going to, the challenges you are going to face in your life. There's only one person who knows what opportunities are out there, and he is God. And so doesn't it make sense then that God is going to lead us to places in his word, that he wants to speak to us through his word, that he's going to speak to us to help us in the future? As I can't tell you how many times that this has happened to me, how I was going through something in my life and how I was on a reading plan of reading through the Bible, and I would be sitting there reading the chapters for the day, and I would say, this is exactly what's going on in my life. This is exactly what I need right now. Or even times where I've been reading and then I'll go through something a week later and I say, that's why I read that. That's why God led me there. Because the thing is, if you don't record it, it might not be that you don't remember that God has ever said this, but it's just that, or that you don't know it's there, but it's just you don't remember it. And so God has a way of taking us to places that he wants us to be so that we can obey him in whatever it is. The third thing you need is a reading plan. And there's tons of these that are available out there. You can go online, you can Google Bible reading plans, and a lot will come up. There's even an app for that. You can just turn on your iPhone, and they'll provide your daily Bible readings. They're all out there. The Navigators have a lot. YouVersion has some on there. There's even Replicate Ministries has the F260 Bible reading plan, which is what we're going to be doing through our discipleship groups. It's called the Bible reading plan for busy Christians. Some of these are chronological. Some are based on seasons. The important thing is you just find one that fits you. And the fourth thing you need is the time when you are at your best. Because if you are exhausted at the end of the day, sometimes reading your Bible is a good way to close the day out. But if you are exhausted at the end of the day, then that's not a good time for you. Because if you are trying to read the Bible, then it's just not going to last. Maybe you're a morning person, so you read it in the morning. Maybe you do it at your lunch break at work. Whatever fits best for you, you just find a time when you are at your best. And so you say, okay, I have what I need. Now, how can I do that? And so what I want to do is I want to share with you a process. And for that, I want to share an acrostic that will help us. And the acrostic is here. H is for highlight. Because you might have read 2 to 4 chapters that day, but there was a few verses in those chapters that really stuck out to you, that God spoke to you through. And so what are you going to do is you're going to write those verses down. The E is for explain. And what you're going to do here is you're going to talk about the meaning of those verses in the broader context of what you read. What is God teaching you through these verses? And then the A is for application. This is going to be your marching orders. Here's the question you ask. Now, Lord, you have said this to me since you have told me what you want me to hear. What do you want me to do as a result? And this is key, because we just don't want to know what the Bible says, but this is the difference between being a hearer of the word and being a doer. And R is for response. And this can simply be a prayer. You know, I love the prayer of Samuel in 2 Samuel where he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You can use this as a time to thank God for speaking to you through his word, asking for faith and wisdom to be obedient in whatever it is that he has given you as his marching orders for the day. And here's the beauty of using a thing like this. It's just a little journal that I like to write in things like this and have different journals, but you have a little journal like this. And the beauty of it is you can leave the first couple of pages open and actually start your journal a little bit later. And you leave those first few pages open, and what you do is you begin to write the numbers of how many ever lines you have. Because if you're like me, you don't have a good memory, and you forget what you've read, You forget what God said to you. And so what you can do is you can make a little table of contents here. You can put the day, you can put the verse, and you can put basically the subject of what it was. And so that a few weeks later, when you're dealing with some sort of temptation, you'll say, oh, I remember reading something like that. And you can go back to it and you can see what God had said to you about that temptation. And so now what you can see is that God has spoke to you through his word. And so for months and years, you will be able to see what God has done in your life and all that he has said and how faithful he has been to you through the years. Now, why is this all so important? It's because small investments every day that you make with God and his word will make the biggest difference in your life. You know, it's that way with everything. You could go today and invest $5,000 in an IRA and not touch it until you retire. And there would be some small dividends to that. But if you decided every single paycheck, every single period, pay period, I'm going to just invest a little bit every single time from every paycheck into that, and you don't touch it, in the end, it will have large dividends. It's the same way in our relationships. You can go all out and have one big vacation a year. You can go all out and have a huge thing for your anniversary once a year. But that's not going to have as much of an impact of daily investments in your relationship. Kindness, expressions of your love, praying with your husband, reading scripture with your wife. Those kinds of things are the things that will lead to a very special relationship and a legacy over a lifetime. And it's the same with the Word of God. I could say, well, I'm going to catch up with it on Saturday. I'll spend 2 hours reading God's Word and all that I was supposed to do through the week. I'll catch up on Saturday. But we wouldn't say that about food. Well, I'm not going to eat anything this week, but I'm going to catch up for it on Saturday. Just imagine how I would look like, what I would look like if I did that for a few years. Just imagine how gaunt and emaciated we would look if we don't have a daily intake of God's Word for a lifetime. Because see, that's how we grow as individuals. That's how we grow as Christians. And you know, we are such a blessed people. We easily have access to the Word of God. I almost have a Bible in every translation, either in my office or at home. Many of us are the same way. We have multiple Bibles sitting in our homes, but so many times it means very little to us. I want to share before we close just a little video here as we see a tribe in Indonesia and their response to receiving the Word of God for the first time in their life.
Nundi gerenje omulatlam siyang wenena memero buku wenena ot kemelama do wenena ani si ani yaklem la vra nunda be elu lama pour memero kumni amulatlam siyang wenena oui ni babi ket se po seni lima po sumni ni wenena nundi ibu nisin mati sampe wahyu gigi tangkal wenena wala yoksimna igin ga igin kum kiaman.
And this is Maria, Pulana. Jim Silam. Nanio. Nanio. Oh, Yesu Kristo to Samirna. And the Lord Lord Wale that need us in the spirit of God and say our vanity. And me on say our name look no la moana. Now we are say we love no me on me.
Yang upni yo wenena nane miung kiblam nu na boga na yo kombok neri masyarakat emiung mapon ni sinap ni sine miung se ngingeng ulam opti na ba ngingeng ulam ni yo neri ginne kigip lawa piu pertanyaan lama apar sengena dan ngingelam nu ne ngene kigip besaro pesing ding kayo
ane meyong do na but na ne tot siwa nun ngi ngi ngup sir ni dual kitab do wapti am bu sun banu di buta ay to wite meyong di yu la rop ni ni sin nun di yu buta ay panun na ngeng kan na di to ba
sigale sonimi ane sonimi na e meyong di yu gimi al libur ay me mer wa ange nun di sari do be pi wenena ne di ma bo mo ma ba de si ba timun ma ro lu gu ga so ma ro ga wenena nun di yu ay ne ge sal ba hepto dinu di ma waqat sipa siktina siktelim sik ma waqanege on batta balam sik ba sigat nunab nasan imma sa wing group sem bi sik ba ben nyaw
tet nak telim sumnen emi yong nahne yong aba iblamna anse dimande yayu nenege lakdep ni yas dimande yan nenege na wene ya ko debla dimande yan yana delia la ko buka sampai pokok plak na orum dulu
same way it hits me. You see the joy, the dancing, the praise of God over what? This. It's just the New Testament. We are such blessed people to have the Bible in our language. And yet, so many times, it means very little to us. It was everything to them. Just taking that testament and hearing how they said they are going to pass that down to their children and their grandchildren. I mean, that was so precious to them. My plea to you this morning is let this book be precious to you. Let it be a priority in your life. Don't let it be just another book taking up space on a counter, on a table, on a bookshelf. Let it be the living Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why we're starting our discipleship groups. Is maybe you're looking for that chance to say, I want to make this book a priority in my life. Maybe you've struggled with that in the past, but we're going to be doing this process that I just shared with you, and you're going to have people who can help hold you accountable, who are going to be studying the Word of God alongside of you. And if you are interested in that, we are getting those groups together. There's still time. and just let me know and say, Pastor, I want to be a part of that. We're going to have some groups going on Sunday nights during our service. We're going to have times going any other time that we can get together if you have it. We don't want to make it a difficulty on you. We want to work with you because we believe that the Word of God is important. Because if we do not read it, then we are no better off than those who can't. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have spoken to us. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us, not only through your Son, Jesus Christ, but through your Holy Word. That we can have in our hands your complete revelation of yourself. We can learn all that you have told us about yourself through these pages. Through the stories of men and women from long ago. Through relationships that people have had with you. Through the life of your Son as recorded in the pages of Scripture. We can know you. We're not there left in the dark, scrounging around. And we are blessed to have your Word in our language. There are so many people, so many languages that a Bible doesn't even exist in. We are privileged, Father. We know that. But with the commonality of your Word in our language, often just become another book. But Father, here this morning, I would pray that you would bring into our life, you would bring into the lives of everyone here, into the life of this church, a joy like we just saw from that tribe in Indonesia. That we would rejoice over your Word. That we would long for your Word. That we would devote ourselves to your Word. That your Word would be precious in our lives. Because we know that this is no ordinary book. We know that it is how we grow. How we mature. How we grow closer to you. Father, I pray that from this day on, you would build within us a passion for your Word. And that it would become a priority in all of our lives. And it would become the foundation of who we are as your church. And we pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing.